is pure, purposed, and pressured. Get your Bibles in Psalms 133, please. Thank you, guys. Psalms 133. Colleen, that was such a beautiful song. I looked over at Josh. I said, Josh, y'all need to go ahead and get that thing down. Learn that and sing that live. Beautiful. Beautiful song. Psalm 133. Three verses to this particular psalm that David writes. When you're there, say amen. Verse 1 says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. What was that last word? What was that last word? Okay, just make sure we all saw the same thing. And now he goes in to describe what it is in verse 2. It is like precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edge of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon coming down the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Lord, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us the very oil that is necessary for our purpose. And we thank you, Lord, that it is planned for your good. We thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. What I want to share with you is that the oil that is spoken about here is first mentioned in the Bible, and it gives the ingredients. But the definition of the anointing is the supernatural enablement of God, which he gives to a person through the Holy Spirit to accomplish his purpose. Let me read that again. The definition of the anointing is a supernatural enablement of God, which he gives to a person through the Holy Spirit to accomplish his purpose. In Exodus 30, verses 22 through 23, there's where we find the very recipe that he instituted to Moses for the anointing oil. It has five ingredients: liquid myrrh, sweet-smelling cinnamon, sweet-smelling cane, cassia, and olive oil. How many of you have tasted olive oil just on a spoon? Just how many of you take it on a daily basis? Olive oil is used in cooking because it has a high heat content. Doesn't burn as fast. High heat content. You know what that means, right? I mean, it doesn't burn real fast. You're able to put it through the fire at high temperatures, and it'll last longer than your conventional oil. See, many times we go through the fire, we don't even understand why we're going through it. But it's the oil that's inside of you that can withstand the heat. It can withstand the pressure. But many of us don't want to go that extra notch, like turning up the heat a little bit more. We don't want God to do that, do we? But if we were God, we would turn the fire up on everybody that was coming against us. Come on, think about it. If God was to give you, I was watching Bruce Almighty the other day on Netflix, and Jim Carrey, you know, takes over the responsibility of God just for his little region, okay? And he says yes to everybody's prayers, right? And that lady, she goes, I lost 30 pounds on the Krispy Kreme diet. That's a good diet, by the way. It's real good. Or everybody won the lotto, so there wasn't much to share, right? See, if we were God, we wouldn't know how to answer everybody's petitions. Can you imagine the ones that we heard all the time asking the same thing over and 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 over?
Give it to him.
And be like, get there. They have been on my last nerve. Thank God we ain't God. See, sometimes we don't know why we go through what we go through and for how long we've been going through it. We don't know. Now, I'm talking about an anointing oil that comes from olives. olives. Bitter olive. Some of y'all's mouth right now is starting to water because when you taste the olives, it's like, oh. Who likes olives in here? Raise your hand. Olives. You get that thing, and you can have the best tasting soup and everything. Oh my God. And then you just bite into the olive and it's sour. Like, oh, you just took away all that, the heavenly taste. Look, everybody like, oh, y'all like olives, right? Tastes real good. Have you ever bit into the seed? What happened? Hey, wait a minute. Y'all like olives so much. What happened if you bite into the seed? It hurts? It's what is it? Bitter. Wait a minute. Y'all like the very thing that was made to come out bitter. That's what the seed produces after its kind. How many is your faith seed crushed so much that you've become bitter? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so your oil no longer is pure. It's been tainted because of bitterness. You're looking at me like, Pastor, you don't even know what I've been through. Sure. I've been going through some stuff. You're going to keep going through it too. It's his timing, not yours. Get mad all you want. The more bitterness that comes out, your oil gets ruined. We don't like to hear it, do we? I don't want it back. Why do you think he adds all this sweet stuff in it? Watch. Exodus 30, 22 through 23, we find the anointing oil. What is in it? The liquid myrrh. Sweet smelling cinnamon. 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 Sweet smelling cane and cassia. And we got to put it with the olive oil because the olive oil is bitter. Do you understand? That the very thing that creates the anointing in your life is the hardships and the bitterness of your walk with God. But if you're only bitter and not adding all this other stuff, ain't nobody want to be around you, for one. Ain't nobody want to be around someone that's bitter. You've been around someone that's bitter all the time? Yeah. Hey, how you doing? Pastor, I don't know how. Let me tell you. You got an hour? No, I don't have an hour. It was just a question. Don't you know? We always get on the phone. Hey, how you doing? You really don't want to know. You don't. Let's just get to the point. Some people look at me like, well, you get on the phone, you just get right to the point. Because I ain't got time to waste. We ain't going to go through all the pleasantries. How you doing? How was your day? What'd you do last night? Okay, by the way, the reason why I'm calling, I go through all that. Hey, look, can you go let the dogs out? Let's get right to the point. So I know yes or no, or I got to call somebody else. Then we move on. But no, we got to go to, hey, how you doing? You know, my corn hurts real bad. And I was supposed to dance in church today, but I can't. You know, we just talk about all our pain. Talk about what we go through. Ooh, I have a demented mind, I guess. Because some of y'all spend hours and money on your makeup, your hair, your fake eyelashes and all. You come to church, and the Lord says, oh, really? You walk in, oh, God, you got eyelashes hanging off to the left. You got mascara coming all the way down. And if you happen to be on the floor crying, Lord, you get up, and your part that was here is over here now. You get messed up in the presence. I love it, though, because if you ask someone how they're doing, sometimes they'll give you the Christian answer. I'm blessed, highly favored of the Lord. I'm going. Things are great. I'm always blessed. You know how it is. You blessed? I have a discernment. I discern something else. You've been going through, haven't you? Nah, not me. Big old bags under the eyes. You've been going through. But your oil comes because God wants you to do something for his purpose. But when your oil is bitter, is the anointing to be played with? No? No? The anointing shouldn't be played with. The anointing is because you've been through a process. You've been going through some stuff. And now all of a sudden, now what you were once going through has become now made sweet because of his presence. What is cinnamon used for? Healing. Cinnamon is good for your stomach. What you said now, your cholesterol. What is cholesterol? It's a blockage in your blood. Blockage in your blood. That blockage keeps you from getting in his presence, even though you got the blood. That blood gives you the right to be in his presence. But you have blockage within you because of your hardships, your trials, your tribulations, and everything you go through, because your seed has become bitter. Do you know that God knows how to squeeze you enough not to bruise your seed? You know that, right? If we were God, shoot. You stomp on that and, oh, man, got on my last nerve asking all the time, can they win the lotto? Win the lotto. Then, here, step on that. Right? People are always, Lord, can I get my truck now? I'm going to apply online and see if I can get it. Lord, can I get my truck? And then he asks, what kind? I don't know. I'll take a Dodge, take a Ford, I'll take Chevy. Maybe I'll get me a SUV instead because we're always going places, maybe. So I don't even know what I want, but I'm always asking when I get a new car. I believe he puts it on the truck, getting ready to deliver it to me, and then I change my mind. So he's like, oh, back it up. Back it up. He don't know what he wants. I think I get on God's nerve, too. I think so. Come into the house of God. Oh, God, you're so good. You're here. God, you're here. Yes, you're here. Oh, hallelujah. And the next thing come out of my mouth, Lord, can you bless me? I'm telling myself, it's all right. Can you bless me so I can get a new building? How come you want to talk to me about my building? I'm asking you. Now I'm no longer prostrate before him. Now I'm sitting down like, you know, you haven't even shown me. I was once in adoration. But now I'm sitting down like, wait a minute. I got this thing over here and it has a nice church building, our goal. What's the goal? I'm like, what's the goal, God? You haven't even told me where. You feel like the line was disconnected? You know how we're on the phone and we drop calls because out of range? Out of range. You've gotten too far away from God that you can't even really connect. Outside of the working area. You've gotten so far. Because, you know, your seed crushed. By you, not by God. How do you crush your seed? Yeah, put your finger on your lip right here. Put it right here, on your lips. How do I crush my seed? With what I say. That's how you crush it. How does God crush it? He never does. God never crushes. Because then he makes his anointing on you become bitter. You think God wants you to be bitter?
No.
Ooh. Not at all. He wants you to be blessed. And he wants your oil to be a blessing to others. In Acts 20 through 22, watch this. Here is, I'm going to just paraphrase real quick, but you can just take note of it. In Acts 8, 20 through 22, this is where Simon, the sorcerer, wants to purchase the anointing from the disciples. Because the disciples are laying hands and anointing the people. So he comes up and he wants to buy this anointing. So if he's got the money, right? How many think you can buy your way out of your problems? Many try. Many have tried. I'm going to buy my way out of this one. And it just seems like every time you try to reach for your pocket to get yourself out of trouble, you're getting yourself more into trouble. So this is what Peter says to him in Acts 8, verse 20 through 22. So Peter tells him, your money perished with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Ow. Repent, therefore, of this, your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. Ooh-wee. So when your heart is wicked, some of y'all looking at me like, I ain't wicked, true. Not mean. He calls it wickedness because of your heart. When you act that way. I want to get what I can get when I can get it. If I got to pay to get it, I'm going to pay to get it. His heart wasn't right. His attitude was the heart of wickedness, and he told him to repent. Peter. It would have to be Peter, right? It would have to be Peter to tell Simon Peter, the sorcerer. Well, you got to repent. Why would Peter be the one telling him? Peter, the knucklehead. Because he knew. I know you. I see myself in you. Yeah, I used to think I could get what I wanted when I wanted. I thought I had all the answers. But my heart wasn't right. It wasn't until I sat down on the beach, Rockport, Texas. With Jesus, that my heart was made right. Jesus asked him, do you love me? Yes, Jesus, I love you. Feed my sheep. I wonder if Peter thought back when, sheep? I'm a fisherman. I know nothing about sheep. I don't like sheep. They stink. They got fleas and ticks. Their wool is all matted and dirty. They can't do for themselves. We got to care for them. No. Can you imagine what was going through his head when Jesus asked him? Then he asked him again. I believe Peter was thinking in that process right now, sheep are just the worst thing to even have to. Do you love me, Peter? Yes, you know I love you. You know all things. You know I love you. Feed my sheep. What's up again with these sheep? I don't have no room in my house to take care of sheep. I have all my tackle. I ain't caught no fish. I ain't good at what I do. I ain't going to do nothing. I'm not taking on another responsibility. You love me, Peter? Look, I only like you. That's what he said. Read the word. Rightly divided. This is what he told Jesus. I only like you. What did Jesus say? Then feed my sheep. I know he knows my thoughts. I know he heard me talking about I don't want to do nothing with these sheep. How many times has God asked you? Are you going to do what I tell you to do? Or are you going to do it with a cheerful heart? Heller. You going to do it with a cheerful heart? No? Because I only like you. I don't care whether you like me or not. You're going to do it because I said so. Because, you know, if we were God, that's how we would have talked to Peter. You only like me. What'd you say? I let you walk on water. I should have let you drown. Y'all know the scripture? Peter's the only one that came out the boat. See, you ever want to experience some things in God? It's going to require you to do something out of the ordinary. Not waiting for the storm to pass, but in the very storm for you to step out of the boat and begin to do something that's going to change your storm to become a miracle in your life. When I get to my millions, and then I'm going to sow and I'm going to build churches. How about helping build church now? Because I ain't got no money to build it. There's toilets need to be cleaned. There's, you know, child care in the back needs to be done. Shoo, we ain't going to talk about these rugs. But then he says, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep anyhow. I know Peter. Peter's probably thinking, you know what? You know, I already denied you 3 times. I'm denying you to your face right now. Y'all know the story? He denied him 3 times before the rooster crowed 3 times. So he knew that he was going to deny him. He denies him. And then when he's coming out of the tomb, he tells Mary and Martha, and then he tells them, look, go tell my disciples, I have risen. Oh, by the way, and Peter too. I believe the ones that get on God's nerve with their petition, he says, leave Marty right there. Leave him right there. You won't understand him, but I do. He gets mad at me and he only likes me. I need him close to me. Then I bet you Michael the archangel was like, you know what? I have the sword. Let me just take him out. Right? And Jesus said, I'm interceding on his behalf. Sit down, Michael. And I bet you the angel's like, what is it with him? This knucklehead, he just told you he only likes you. We can't even talk to you like this. Let me kill him. Think about the angels. Come on. If you want me to be real spiritual and break down the words for you, you leave your board. Reading the Bible is boring sometimes unless you really use your imagination. You've got to really know who Peter is. Because if you just read, oh, Peter the disciple, he was the one that loved Jesus. He's the one that walked on water. He's the one that denied Jesus. No, let's look at who Peter really is. Peter's the one that said, I need Jesus. I don't want him. I need him when I need him, but I don't want him. That's Peter. I'll follow around. But you know what? That's the Son of God. How can this work in my favor? Think about Peter. Come on, there's some schemers in here. I know you are. Just playing. Y'all are looking at me like, dang, Pastor. Just playing. Peter knew how to work some systems. Mm-hmm. So I bet you now he's sitting there looking at Jesus. I don't want these sheep. I've been around you, and the sheep bite. You ever been around sheep? Huh? What do? They nibble on your feet. They nibble on your heels. This is going to rock your world. Even the sheep will trip you up. Even the sheep will trip you up in your walk. You're walking in there where they bite back there. You ever had a little dog that's a nuisance when they're just a little puppy? All they want to do is run after your shoelaces, run after you. But they're the ones that get trampled on when you're walking. And you're the one that feel bad. Oh, hey, Mira, come here. What happened? You shouldn't have been right there. You don't have puppies? Little gerbils or something? You know? I don't know. Y'all looking at me like, what are you talking about? The sheep are the ones that come after you, and they bite your heels. They get in the way. Come on, Papa, stand up over here. Come on, try and stand over here. Come on, Jeremiah, stand over here. We'll make this short and sweet. Look, y'all want to be look presentable. No, y'all are sheep. Y'all need to gather. Sheep don't even know how to walk together. They bump into each other. They bump into each other. And here's the shepherd. I think this is Peter. I think it's Peter. Keep that there. Chihuahua. Move, right? So Peter's trying to get some order in the place. But what keeps happening? Here comes all the sheep getting around Peter. Knocking him around. Stop it. And then Jesus said, feed my sheep. I ain't going to feed them. They get on my nerves. How many of y'all been there? You know it's true. You come in the church, I don't want to sit next to Sister Stone, so she's looking at me like I'm crazy and stuff. She always tell me, I'm praying for you. Well, quit praying for me. But, I don't want to sit next to her. Y'all going to have to protect me. I ain't going to sit in the front with the Golden Girls. I ain't gonna sit with the Golden Girls because they on the top. they take up the whole row and it's only two of them. Because they start watching you and then you start to go on the story like I talk about me and my mom all the time. She look at me like, I'm gonna get you. I'm gonna be God today. But crush your seed. Right? But what happens? What happens? We're trying to do something. We're trying, okay, we're gonna go eat over here. We're gonna take you over here so you can eat. But the whole time they just bumping into each other, stepping all over each other, they're nipping at the heels, and they don't even know how to act right. Would y'all stop it right now? Just stop it. Can you imagine Peter how he would be as a shepherd? So watch this. I'm going to paraphrase the Bible for you. What did Peter do? I ain't going to be the one shepherding. I'm going to raise up other people to shepherd them. I'm going to go over here. That's what Peter did. Peter says, you know what? I'm going to go. Hey, find me some faithful ones. Your faithful ones. We should be in prayer and reading the word. Find me some faithful people to take care of them. Right? I got to go heal some people so I can bring in more sheep into the fold for somebody else. I mean, isn't that what Peter did? Yeah. Peter was an evangelist for the Lord, for the kingdom. He hated the sheep, but he won the sheep. Y'all don't read the Bible like I do? See? Like, and if you were to write a Bible, I'd read the Bible the way you say it. What? They would have to have interpreters for interpreters. When they try to rightly divide my Bible, they're like, that's not the way it was done. Peter was holy. Yeah, he was full of holes all over his theology. He didn't get it right. But what happened was he kept adding to the kingdom. He kept adding. Here's the thing. When God speaks to you, even in the time of your bitterness, he turns your bitterness to something sweet. So that now what you were once bitter about, you're more passionate about. What you were once bitter about, you become sweet and passionate about. Because now what was happening with Peter, he would just walk by, Golden Girls got healed. Ba-bam! The shadow healed the people. They were added unto the church. He had so much passion for them that he says, you know what? Now I see why it was important for him to ask me three times. Each time I was making up for the time that I denied him. And even at the last time I told him I only liked him, he still gave me the responsibility to do the greatest thing placed on this earth for us to do, is to reach the souls. Touch them, raise them, and bring them within the fold. A fisherman to be a shepherd. I can understand David, King David. He was out there with the sheep. And what happened to King David? He was overlooked. by the prophet. No, that ain't him. Mm-mm, that ain't him. His daddy said, no, we have one. And he's outside. He's all stinky and smelly being out there with the sheep. Prophet said, oh, bring him. So he comes in. Now I can understand David being a shepherd. He was a shepherd because he knew how to shepherd. See, I don't read where Peter sinned like David did. You understand? Peter continued on doing greater things than David ever did. And what took place? Oh, Lord, turn these down. I felt God speaking in here. Peter understood something about his season. It was hard. It was something that he didn't understand. But God didn't crush his seed so much that it made him bitter. His talk made him bitter. Watching the sheep made him bitter. And what happened was, after a while, he began to put the sweetness with the oil, and it made now what was the cause for healing, the anointing oil, was also used now for the priestly anointing. Do you understand that? The five ingredients. Why five ingredients? Because that's grace. The fivefold ministry. It was the very thing that God was going to use in the people. So you may have been a sheep in one of your walks, in one of your seasons, but then I'm going to call you out, even at this age, and prophesy. I've been watching this young man in the prophetic class begin to give words very accurately. Is that right, Mama? And I mean from the word. Pulling out scripture, reading it, and then telling you what the scripture means and how it applies to you. Then he pulls you out of obscurity and then takes you to foreign soil, but you haven't even practiced here, but over there is looked upon as elder. You see, you don't know what God is doing in your life and what he's going to do, regardless of what your season that you're in. And blesses him. And now they reference him as Pastor Popo. They received him. Trials, tribulations come, but what happens is the individual begins now to prophesy so accurately and speaks with such passion because of the pain and turmoil in her heart. She can see the pain and turmoil in others. Begin to prophesy so accurately. That's why the enemy wants to crush your seed to make you bitter. But in the midst of that, God says, I'm going to stop it from being crushed. I'm going to add my love to it and bring about sweetness to it. That when she ministers the prophetic words, they get touched out of the pain. It's purposed. Purposed. A young man carrying a load for his family. See, God pulls them out of the fold and says, I'm going to use you right now. Not later, now. You're going to help your mama, you're going to help your family, but you're also going to help your pastor. So you're not going to wait years in order for you to be used. You're going to be used now. Do all of these have issues? Yes. Yes, we all have them. But they didn't let their bitterness be the very thing that drove them. Because God kept them from becoming bitter and made them sweet. Do you understand? Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm going to close. I'll pick this up maybe next week. No, I won't. Will you grace me 20 minutes? 20 minutes. Promise. If you help me out, guys, help me out. What is a murmuring heart? A murmuring heart is that that continues to complain during the process that they're going through where they don't understand why they're going through it. That's what a murmuring heart does. The children of Israel found themselves wandering through the desert for 40 years because their hearts were not right in the sight of God. They could have reached the promised land in 11 days. Is your murmuring keeping you from entering in? Think about it. 11-day journey turned into 40 years, turned into a generation. What does that represent? That your bitterness, your murmuring and complaining is no longer affecting you. It's affecting the next generation. You understand? We got to make sure that we're not complaining, murmuring, and keeping God from doing mighty miracles in your life. Your murmuring and complaining stops the very move of God in your life. He did it right there with them. He didn't allow them to cross over. On Acts 16, 22 through 34. Turn there if you would, please. And then I'm going to close with this. And I pray this will bless you. Acts 16, verse 22 through 24. So I'm going to read first and then I'll continue on. Glad hearts in times of troubles is what I titled this here. Acts 16, verse 22 to 24. I have a feel for it. Verse 22. Then the multitude rose up together against them. How many? A multitude. Against Paul and Silas. And the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into the prison, commanding the jailer to keep them secure. Having perceived such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Keep your place on verse 25, please, but just listen. Many times, people come against you because you're doing the very thing that God wants you to do. And you think the enemy is going to let up because you're doing God's will. It only intensifies even more. So here now the magistrate wants to throw them in prison because they commanded a demon to come out of the fortune teller for declaring really that they were the messengers of God. But it offended the owners of this woman that they couldn't make money no more. So they bring this accusation that they are troubling the city. Hear this. What happens? The magistrate tears his clothes off and says, you know what? Beat them. Flog them. What was it? They beat them with rods upon their back. Their backs were spliced open because they were beaten so much with these, the bamboo sticks or whatever they want to do, however they use it, cat o' nine tails, whatever. They had ways of torturing them. So they tortured them, and not only did they put them in the prison, they put them in the inner prison. That's pretty bad. Let me describe why it's bad. The inner prison isn't walls in, it's levels down. So you have the prisoners on top. Now they didn't have plumbing. They had grates as their floor. So when anytime they had to release themselves, it went through the grates and wound up beneath them. That was the inner prison. There's where they put Paul and Silas. Where'd they put them? They put them below everybody else's waist. So in other words, every time you're doing the things of God, things are going to show up in your life that's going to make it very difficult. But what I find in this particular scripture here, I find that Paul and Silas didn't murmur or complain. I don't want to be like Paul and Silas. I'm sorry. Well, you're a pastor. You're going to have to go. I don't want to go. I pray God just keep me so I don't have to go to something like that. So they're already beaten. We can't even take a splinter sometime, a paper cut. We ain't going to church. I got a paper cup. You don't know. My coffee didn't make, you know, didn't brew this morning. I ain't going. Paul and Silas got thrown into prison. Not only were they beaten so bad, then they tie them up so they can't move. But what I found very interesting when I did a study, guess who tied them up and put them in the inner prison? The same ones that beat them. Who is the one that watched over them? The same ones that beat them and tied them up. So the same person that is coming against you, that's talking about you, that is stripping you with all kinds of character issues, that's being put out there to talk about you and to change the way people view you, are the ones that are trying to keep you bound in the very thing that they think is going to keep you from achieving God's destiny. And I read verse 25. Watch this. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Hold up. Ho, 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 ho. I just got beaten for doing God's will. I just got wrongfully accused for doing God's will. I have just gotten put into the inner prison for doing God's will. I've just been shackled and chained so I can't move for doing God's will. By the same person that beat me, tied me inside my prison cell, is now the one looking over me. But at midnight. Had they been through something already? Oh, but wait. They started singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. What prisoners? The ones above them. See, sometimes you think you've hit a low spot. God is there with you. And the very thing that is there trying to take you out is the very thing that's going to take you up. They were shackled. They were shackled. And I don't know about you. How many of you have ever had just a backache? Try raising your hands and worship then. Because you have to understand that their worship was raising their hands when they sang. And they were doing that even with their backs being exposed to the elements. Elements. But they still praise God. Could we do that today? Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. We would have quit God a long time ago. You mean, like I was just preaching, doing what you told me to do, and now I'm in prison? See ya. We have it too easy here. But they praise God in that circumstance. But there was such an earthquake that it opened up the doors. Watch this. Read it. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. And at once the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Are you reading that? That's your Bible too, right? Everyone's. Why everyone? Because sometimes what you're going through is going to help other people. But if you get bitter in what you're going through, how are you going to help others if you're so focused on your own pain, you're focused on your own issues, you're going to be bitter and never going to be the anointed one to break loose people that are in bondage. You've got to process this pain. You've got to process this pressure. You've got to process everything that you're going through because it's not for you. It's for others. It's for others, brother. It's for others. You gone through some stuff. Man, you in it right now. It's for others. Don't shut down and shut out. Your greatest victory, man, I don't even know you, is about to flourish. You're about to see a shift in your house like never before. You're going to see it even in the job. You're going to see it in your walk. You're going to get right back in the position with God. Because everything you've been going through has made you get to the point, I don't want to do this no more. I can't even keep up no more. You prophesied to me that greatness was coming my way. And it's been over 6 years.
says, I haven't forgotten the word in your life. I haven't forgotten you. I haven't stopped believing in you. I was in it with you. I kept you alive because I have need of you. And when people came against you, I stood with you. There's a prophetic edge inside of you that when you open your mouth, you will see people that set free and deliver. But the enemy has muzzled your mouth. And I cancel the work off of your life. You shall live and not die. You shall see the glory of God in your life. You shall see that everything that you tried to work out. I said, I'm going to show you my glory, son. I'm going to show you my glory. You are not forgotten. You are not fatherless. I am your father, says God. I am your father. I bless you, son. I bless you. Forgive my passion. But I don't like it when the devil comes in and tries to take people out when they're called of God to do great things. The wall that has been built up around you, my God, today. The wall is about to come down. We build walls up, and God says, I'm bringing it down. But watch this, watch this. When the spies entered in to Rahab's house, my God, she lived in Jericho, but they let the spies down at her wall, down. So when the walls of Jericho fell, guess what didn't fall? Her household, her portion of that wall did not crumble. Your wall is going to be steady. Your household is going to be saved. Your people and your kindred and your kind will be saved. The hand of God is on your life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo!
Them, cleaned them up, and fed them. God's about to turn your enemies into your greatest blessing. He's about to turn some things around in your situation and your circumstance. The ones that were coming against you, the ones that were beating you, and the ones that were hurting you, are the ones that are going to bandage you up, clean you up, and going to loose you from the very thing that they have put you in, because the curse is reversed. You can't quit because the times have gotten hard. You can't stop because the pressure is too much. It's purposed. It is purposed. Why is it purposed? For His glory. His promise for the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God. You've been wondering why you get misunderstood. You're not understood at times. You get set apart. But God has a very special anointing for you. Not only do you want to experience the touch and the manifestation, you don't want it the old way. You want something fresh in you. I've seen too much to want to commit to this. I want to commit to what He has. You're about commitment. Troubles come, you don't run. You stand. You're an intercessor. Pray through and hold on. When Jacob got into the very presence of Jesus, he wrestled with him. He says, I'm not letting go until you bless me. His identity changed and was revealed to the very nature of God, who He is, Israel. The nature in which God is about to show you is not only going to change the direction in your life where you're going, but it's going to bring some clarity to you because you need it right now. Do I do this? Go there? What do I do, God? You need it right now. He is about to reveal to you in your spirit what you're to do. I encourage you, beloved. We're always going to be misunderstood because we are the people of God. We go against the grain because we are the people of God. We go against the world system because we're the people of God and the kingdom of God. So what you desire, you will have the angels visit you. You will have the angels come into your room. You'll begin to hear the singing. And you will sing along with them. You will sing right along with them. I see you standing, moving about. It's like a little bed. But you move about. You go to the, it's by the wall. You go this way and then you come right back. You don't have a lot of room. You go this way and you come back. But you will hear them singing and you'll sing along with them. You need God right now in this moment in your life for direction and clarity. And God is going to give that to you. Stay praying. Stay praying. Get in your word. And let Him take you where He needs to take you. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Share this with you in closing. I'm just going to read this real quick. Verse 31. I'm sorry, I'll go to 29. The jailer called for the lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved." Watch this. "You and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. Sometimes we don't know how God is going to get us to the people He wants us to minister to. We think it's going to be an invitation to come. And maybe through your trials, your tribulations, and your hardships, so that your oil can increase. See, the pressure is only released inside of you what's already there. But sometimes we need extra pressure to see what you're really made of. Are you going to quit? Can't. Because he wants you just the way you are. Just the way you are. Doesn't need you perfect. Doesn't want you perfect. He wants you for who you are now. Because he has need for you now. So don't quit. Don't give up. Because you're going to be going into someone's home. And it may be the one that talked about you, hurt you, wounded you. But they're the ones that are going to come to you and ask, what must I do to be saved? Because what I saw how you acted in the times of your troubles, you have something that I need. I want that God. Come to my house. And everything that I did to you, I'll clean up. Come into my home. I'll feed you. Not only will I feed you, but my whole family is here to serve you. So you understand what we go through? It's for others. It's for others. Amen. Isn't God good? He is so good. He doesn't put harm on you. He wants you to succeed in this walk. Amen. I don't know anything about you, sir. I'm going to say this. I haven't talked to her about you. I haven't talked to them about you. Because you're going to ask this to them later. Your mama is very happy. Your mama is very happy for you. She's even told you, I've been praying that you would settle. You're more apt to want to please her than anybody else. You respect her. And you love her so much. I know this because I'm that way. I'm a mama's boy. Mama, I'm saying, mama. I'm not saying you do that, but you do. It's all right, man. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Michael still calls his mom. My toe. But I want to encourage you, man. You got a good heart. I want to say it like she's not even next to you. Don't even worry about it. She ain't there. That's my girl. My girl. She ain't there. You lay your life down for a lot of people. You put your heart out there. You wear it on the sleeve. You've been wounded. You've been hurt. You've been taken advantage of. And you were scared. But you're the type of person that you forgive, and you forgive, and you forgive. Don't worry, man. Your mama been praying for you. She's been praying for you. Great things are about to hit you, man. I said hit you. It's going to come unexpected. Bam! Wow! Bam. Hey, wow! It's going to come quick for you. Quick. You've stepped into a season where it's accelerated for you. So that tells me somewhere along the line, the past year and a half, you made a change. You made a change. And God is honoring that. He's honoring that. Now what I'm about to say, the one in the red to your left is about to get a little uneasy. You're moving. You're moving. I see your daddy, your mama standing behind you, Tears running down their face. But it's tears of joy. Mama's saying, it's time. It's time. There's a peace that's there. There's a peace in your spirit. And the one that's going to tell you even more things than you even thought is going to be your sister. Your sister's going to be calling you quite often here in the next couple of months. Spend a lot of time with you. You wonder why. Why? It's all right. It's good. It's good. But where I'm taking you, it's a must. It's a must for you. You're a blessed woman. Are you about to experience such a love and joy that everything that the Lord has prophesied to you over this past year, you let it go. You did. You let it go. When I see it, I feel it. Celebrate. Celebrate. It's good. It's good. Man, it's good to see you in the house of God. One thing she did tell me is, man, so good. You know how her eyes get, and you know how her, she go, pow, you know.